Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to this 15th episode of the Positive Switch podcast. I am very excited to welcome you to this one. In the previous episode, the 14th episode, I approached the dairy industry and all the different aspects that were related to that one. So I talked about the ethical aspect, actually more accurately, the unethical aspect about the dairy industry, but also the health aspect and the environment aspect. Now, if some of you listened to that previous episode, at the end you might have felt a bit helpless or clueless. If I stop consuming dairy, then what are my options and toward which foods should I go in order to get my calcium or other minerals and nutrients that are present in dairy milk? So, as I didn't want to leave you helpless as regarding where to find these nutrients, I thought that I would make this episode a very complete one that approaches the nutritional aspect about dairy and where to find these nutrients. And therefore, I needed the intervention and help of someone who is actually qualified in this field, in the field of nutrition. And therefore, I invited for the second time in this podcast, Mark Korhammer, that you have probably heard already in the 13th episode, if I'm not mistaken, which was on German activism. So, yes, as previously said, Mark is qualified in the field of nutrition. And before to jump right into the topic, I just want to give our listeners some background about Mark. And first, hi.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me, second time.
Well, thanks for, you know, always being up to doing this with me and wanting to inspire our listeners. So you've been vegan for about 3 years now. And my first question is, what inspired you to adopt a whole food plant-based diet and to avoid processed plant-based foods?
Yeah, I think I talked about it in the last interview already, that I went vegan or looked deeper into it for health reasons alone. So I wasn't even aware of all the injustice that was happening towards animals or is still happening towards animals. So yeah, I first looked into it for health or performance reasons, because I started lifting weights back then, and yeah, I was looking for advice, like I said in the last interview. Yeah, and there was one guy on YouTube who was and is still vegan, and yeah, he also was eating a whole foods plant-based diet, so no refined sugars or refined grains or no or minimal oils. And so yeah, for me, I was never a quote-unquote junk food vegan, so I had never the feeling that I need to substitute or replace like meat or dairy products. So I wasn't very big on like vegan meats or vegan sausages and burgers and stuff. Yeah, the only thing I substituted was for milk. In the beginning, I used lots of soy milk and rice milk and almond milk and such. But that's the only substitute that I use. So yeah, for me, from the first day of my vegan journey, I was consuming a whole food plant-based diet, and that has never changed. I feel great. I've never felt better, I think. I could notice back then that my digestion improved. And yeah, my skin cleared up a lot, not a bit, a lot. And yeah, so that's, I don't know the difference for me. It was always whole foods plant-based, so I don't know the other side. But I do know that when I go out, and it happens sometimes, or it won't happen that often in the future, but it happened in the past that I went out for, in restaurants and had a vegan burger or vegan what have you. And I can tell right away the difference. The next day I get pimples on my forehead, or I get bad digestion, or I feel shitty afterwards. Yeah, and when I eat a whole foods plant-based meal, a smoothie bowl or a Buddha bowl or something like that, I feel like I could jump around and smash the next workout right away. So yeah, for me, there's no question that this is the healthiest way to eat, to live.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why you actually consider it to be an optimal diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I would say that for humans, the optimal diet is for sure plant-based. You can talk and discuss for ages and ages about maybe the last 5% of animal products in the human diet, whether that's neutral or negative or positive or something that's up for debate, I think. But 95 or even more percent should come from whole foods, plants. And I'm not talking about the ethical side here, because that's pretty easy to tell what's the right decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, from a health point, whole foods, plant-based, all mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah, and why is it so even if you have the most minimal amount of animal protein mm-hmm. in your diet, what could it have as a potential impact on your health?
I think it's neutral. I think you can smoke some cigarettes and get away with it. The thing is, we just don't have enough studies that are comparing 100% plant-based folks who maybe are plant-based for quite a long time, so the gut flora has improved and stuff. So most studies that are done are comparing either vegans who consume lots and lots of junk food options, which is not representing a whole foods plant-based diet. And if you look into these epidemiological studies like Blue Zones and stuff, they, apart from the Adventists, all these groups have small, tiny amounts of animal products. And we just don't know if they are healthy as AF.
mm-hmm.
We don't know if they were even more healthy
mm-hmm.
when they would consume 100% plant-based diet. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that 100% plant-based diet is for sure adequate
mm-hmm.
for all stages of life. So there's no question.
And we also know that the most minimal amount of plant-based food in an omnivore diet
improves your
lifestyle and your health and your physical condition.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's tons of studies that show over and over again how specific foods like blueberries, ginger, herbs, spices
mm-hmm.
improve artery function and recovery time and muscle soreness and stuff.
Yeah, so think about it, guys, when you're listening to this. If just a little amount of plant-based food in your omni diet can improve your health condition, just picture how much optimal your health can be if you're on a whole food plant-based diet.
Yeah. And all these phytonutrients, we are not even aware of the amount of phytonutrients that exist. And we have no clue how they work. Symbiosis?
Mm-hmm.
Or when you consume, like, for example, you consume blueberries, great. You consume arugula, great. But if you combine them, those phytonutrients can work together and even lead to healthier outcomes than each food alone.
Yeah.
And there's no, at least I'm not aware of, any study that shows that, I don't know, little piece of corpse improves your artery function. That does only exist in plants. So you can find studies that show that animal products are neutral,
mm-hmm.
or you can find a lot of studies that show that animal products are detrimental for health. But on the other side, for plant-based nutrition, you can find studies that show that it's okay, it's neutral, but then you can find a huge load of studies that show that you can improve your health, but there's not a single study that shows that consuming whole plant-based diet is detrimental for your health.
So
it just doesn't make sense
mm-hmm.
to not consume whole food plant-based diet.
And now getting on to milk and dairy milk. So can you explain a little bit what is dairy milk made of?
I think it's mostly water. That's why it's liquid. And there's some proteins in there, and some minerals, some hormones. But actually, everything in that milk is, as you can tell, designed by nature to feed a baby cow.
Mm-hmm.
A huge mammal with a completely different digestion than ours. Cows have four stomachs, five,
mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure. So the physiology of a cow is quite different from that of a human. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't make any sense to consume the breast milk from other species that was perfectly designed to fuel the body of a bovine, of a cow.
Yeah.
So why would you even... Just from a lot, you don't have to be a nutritionist or an expert. It just doesn't make logical sense whatsoever. Yeah.
And what nutrients can we find in dairy milk? And like, why as human beings, we cannot properly absorb them? And why do we... Why dairy milk consumption has been linked, for example, with arthritis or osteoporosis and... diabetes.
Yeah, the thing is, we can absorb the nutrients. There is protein in milk and there is calcium in milk and you can absorb it. That's not the issue. But the issue with, and that goes for all animal products, is, yeah, there are some nutrients that are good for us. There's iron in meat. Yeah, that's great. There's calcium in milk. Yeah, that's great also. There's protein in animal products. Yeah, we need that as well. But the thing is, food is always a package deal. So you can say, okay, I drink milk. I want the protein and the calcium. But hold the saturated fat, hold the cholesterol, hold the hormones or the potential antibiotics that were fed to the cow. So yeah, when you look at this package deal, what you certainly don't want is, I think, at least in the US, the top, in quotes, source for saturated fat is dairy, or especially cheese, which is like concentrated milk. Mm-hmm. So it's very high in saturated fat. There's a funny quote by Dr. Neil Barnard, who said something like, if it had even more fat, then it would be Vaseline.
So that's yes, he said that.
Yeah.
And he was like, you may love cheese, but cheese doesn't love
you
back.
Yeah.
It's fattening, it's addicting.
So you definitely don't want that high amounts of saturated fat, which, saturated fat is linked to, or we do know that it raises serum cholesterol levels in the human body, and so does excess dietary cholesterol, which is also found in animal products as well. And yeah, we know that higher cholesterol levels, especially high LDL levels, can increase your risk for heart disease and Alzheimer's disease and stuff. The saturated fat can lead to an insulin resistance, so you might end up with type 2 diabetes. Yeah, you don't want... The issue with the hormones, you have to... find out what kind of milk. I mean, there's always hormones in milk, but if the cow was pregnant, which is most often the case, while she got milk, the milk is full of... I mean, it comes from a pregnant animal, so what would you expect? It's full of growth hormones and especially IGF-1, which is... Yeah, I mean, we know that animal protein, whether it comes from an animal body part or their secretions, leads to higher levels of IGF-1, which is insulin-like growth factor, which is a hormone that our body produces itself because we need it to grow tissue, and especially when we are growing up. But we don't want excess amounts of that because, it can lead to higher rates of cancer growth, especially in women, to breast cancer development, and in men, prostate cancer, which is both hormone related. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so lots of things in milk that you don't want. And if you say, okay, I want to have calcium source in my diet, which is essential, and you aim for the plant-based calcium sources like hemp seeds, chia seeds, flax seeds, or even broccoli and kale and arugula and
spinach.
Yeah, there's some calcium spinach, but that's not very highly available. But there's... But in what I wanted to get across is, if you aim for these plant-based sources, there's nothing like, okay, I don't want certain things of the plant version, because it's like, okay, you eat hemp seeds to get calcium, but you also get beneficial protein. You have other minerals like iron, zinc, and what have you, and phytonutrients and fiber, which is absent in all animal products. So the package deal is much more desirable than that one of the
animal
version, animal product version.
It's a win-win. There's
nothing
to lose.
Yeah, you get
nothing.
The calcium, and as a bonus, you get even
more
fiber and more nutrients.
Package.
Yeah,
it's not detrimental in any way. So actually, you approached certain foods where we can find calcium, but in which foods would you say calcium might be more available?
In terms of availability, there's calcium in fruit even, but that's, for one, there's not much calcium at all in fruit, and the absorption rate isn't that good either, so I wouldn't consider fruit. I mean, fruit is incredibly healthy, but I wouldn't say it's a good calcium source. Highly available calcium you could find in broccoli and arugula. I think the absorption rate is, I think, up to 60%. If I'm not mistaken, for dairy products, it's 30% or something. Mm-hmm. Then you have all the nuts and seeds that are high in calcium. Like, even sesame seeds are very, very high in calcium, and hemp seeds, chia seed, like I said. Those are like moderate absorbed. Yeah, but if you consume a whole foods plant-based diet with lots of green leafy vegetables, like we should all eat tons as much as possible. Yeah, and nuts and seeds. And if you are consuming plant-based milks, like soy milk and rice, almond milk, most of them are, or if you should aim to get those who are that are fortified with calcium.
Okay.
This is, and you don't have to be worried that it's something unnatural in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's fortified with a algae. It's, I don't know how to pronounce it in English, but in German, the German pronunciation is Lithotamnium calcareum. I think it's a Latin name, so I have no clue how to pronounce it in English. But yeah, that's just a algae, or algae, if you want to call it. And yeah, that's so 100% natural source of calcium, because this algae is incredibly high in calcium. So that's what they use to fortify these milks. So great way if you're not consuming lots and lots of green vegetables and stuff. That if you are having your oatmeal in the morning, good idea to choose a plant-based milk, soy milk, rice milk, fortified with calcium. And and if you look at the nutritional content or the calcium content of cup of soy milk fortified with calcium versus cup of soy milk, the cup of cow's milk, they come out the same with the same amount of calcium.
Okay.
And in soy milk, you don't have all this negative
stuff
in there.
Cholesterol, fat. That's amazing. And earlier on, you mentioned, when you were talking about all the studies and where they've been done, you talked about the blue zones.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain for some people who might not know what that is?
The blue zones are, I think, what was it? Dan Buettner, I think is his name, who's the author of the book, The Blue Zones. And basically what he did, he looked around the world where people live the longest. And it's called blue zones because he had a map and he circled the areas where those people live the longest with the blue pen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's called the blue zones.
Okay.
And there are five blue zones, which one is in Japan, Okinawa. Then we have one in California. So these are the Seventh-day Adventists. Then we have in Greece, there's an island, what is it called? I don't remember. Then we have Sardinia, and what is the fifth? Okinawa, Seventh-day Adventist, Sardinia. Ah, in Costa Rica, there's another one.
Okay.
Ikaguya? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that one. And basically, those are the five areas where the people live the longest. So living up to 100 years is not that uncommon in those areas. And if you look, why are these people living so long? What's their secret? And what they found when they studied these folks was a couple of things that they do in their daily activities. So they all have a meaningful life, so they have purpose in life. Mm-hmm. They have great family bonds and friendships, which is also very important for human health. Lots of love involved there. But if you look at and they move a lot, they work outside, they are exposed to the sun, they are not sitting on their desk all day long and complaining about life. And if you look at the nutrition, they all eat a predominantly whole foods plant-based diet. So 90 up to 95% of their diet is whole foods plant-based. For example, if you look at what the Okinawans eat in Japan, they eat, most of the calories comes from purple sweet potatoes.
Wow.
So nothing far away from all this low carb crap. They eat tons of carbs, mostly in the form of sweet potatoes, and they also have rice and lots of vegetables, root vegetables and stuff. And like I said in the beginning, they do consume small amounts of maybe some fishes or some other animals, but I think that's part of the tradition. And these are maybe 5% of the calories come from these animal products. And if you look at the other blue zones, and what they all have in common as well, they all eat some form of legumes. Mm-hmm. So in Okinawa, they might have more something like soybeans and tempeh, for example. If you look at the blue zone in Greece, mm-hmm. they would have more like a Mediterranean type diet, which is more like white beans and garbanzo beans in soups and lentil soups and stuff. So they all have some sort of legumes in that, and whole grains and nuts and seeds. So they do consume a whole foods plant-based diet. That's the bottom line. And they live the longest. They have very low rates of all these diseases that we face here in the Western world, like heart disease and diabetes.
And that appeared within the last, last
century. The sad thing is for the Okinawans, for example, the more McDonald's opens there, you could actually see that they get more rates of all this disease.
Mm-hmm.
So the last generation that was not consuming all this Western food, they live up to 100 years old, and their children or grandchildren, they get sicker and sicker and sicker because they eat like the West, and then they die like the folks in the West. And the folks in the blue zone, so no one of them drinks milk for the calcium.
None of these groups drink dairy milk.
I think the small, like I said, if you only consume 5%,
it's nothing.
Then and these 5% is mainly consists of the flesh of animals rather than their secretions.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and there's no one walking around with hip fractures. They are all working out in the field. And if you talk about bone health, you can't say you need calcium for your bones, or it's mostly stored in our bones, in our skeletal muscle. Not in the muscle, in the skeleton. But if you want to talk about bone health, there are incredibly much nutrients involved in bone health. So it's not just, okay, I eat calcium, so therefore I have strong bones. You need, 15, 20 minerals and vitamins, and you also need to exercise to have strong bones, so you can eat all the calcium in the world. If you just sit on your butt all day long, you won't have strong bones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one part of the equation for strong bones.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of information, but it's great just to have a diversity of information. And because since we're talking about this now, what materials, so different types of materials, including documentaries, books, YouTube channels, podcasts, what would you recommend to our listeners who want to know more specifically about nutrition?
Yeah, I think the greatest book that I've ever read about nutrition is How Not to Die by Dr. Michael Greger. I think it's absolutely an essential. Then I just have to look at my books that are right next to me. We have especially for dairy. Let me get it. Yeah, I have it in my hands now. It's called The Cheese Trap by Dr. Barnard, and it talks about why cheese doesn't love you back, why it's so addictive. and what's the issue with all this fat and cholesterol, saturated fat and cholesterol, what's in there. So this is what I would recommend specifically for if you're interested in the health effects, or maybe I should say the disease effects of dairy products. But if you're interested in a whole foods plant-based diet in general, I could I can recommend looking up Dr. Joel Kahn, Joel Kahn. Yeah, he's a cardiologist and has also two books that are great. He's also a couple of talks and classes that you can find online.
Mm-hmm. Like seminars?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and nutritionfacts.org by Dr. Michael Greger as well.
And the YouTube channel.
Yeah. There's plenty of information out there.
A podcast? Also, he has
Dr. Greger has a podcast, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which is run by Dr. Barnard. They have also a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two very useful sources.
Okay. Well, I think we've got a pretty good deal. And
to mention that, if we're talking about PCRM, then I should also mention that they have a great app online,
mm-hmm.
available for Android and iOS, I think. It's called the 21-Day Vegan Kickstart Program or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you have an app with tons of recipes, all whole foods, plant-based, no added oils. So if you want to try to get used to a plant-based diet, doesn't matter if you're vegan and you want to improve mm-hmm. your health and go towards a plant-based diet, you could use this app. And even if you are an omnivore right now and you want to learn more about nutrition, there within this app there are some short video clips by Dr. Barnard and other registered dietitians, like small nuggets mm-hmm. to learn more about maybe some nutrients. And so great app to start a journey to a
mm-hmm.
plant-based diet.
All right. Well, thank you so much for this amazing input and for all the information. I think we're pretty good covered now.
Yeah.
There's a great conference that I saw about from Neil Barnard on dairy as well that I will link in the description box of this episode. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my for pleasure.
Everything. And yeah, if you guys have any question, I will link also where you can find Mark and ask him any questions you have. I will link more sources of information and everything we've mentioned in this episode. I look forward to having your feedback. I would greatly appreciate it, and let me know if you're still interested in trying a whole food plant-based diet. You can also reach me anywhere under The Positive Switch on Facebook, Instagram. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. I wish you an amazing rest of your day and stay fit. Bye.